United States of America, known as Land of the Free, Home of the Brave. America has come to symbolize freedom throughout the world. People from all nations and from all walks of life have called America their home. America has welcomed them with open arms. Indeed, the famed Statue of Liberty is the embodiment of the fulfillment of this dream. In New York's public education system alone, its student body represents 145 countries of the world. By welcoming all the world's people and affording them unprecedented opportunities, America has embraced the most talented minds in all fields and from all countries. In becoming a true melting pot with few barriers to success, this young nation has become a model for others to follow. The United States has dozens of major cities playing an important role in U.S. culture, heritage, and economy. In 2004, 251 incorporated places had populations of at least 100,000, and 9 had populations greater than 1 million, including 5 important global cities: New York City, Los Angeles, Chicago, Houston, and Philadelphia. In addition, there are 50 metropolitan areas with populations over 1 million, including Long Beach, Dallas, Boston, Phoenix, Seattle, and San Diego. With no official language, English is the de facto language of the United States. About 82% of the population speaks only English at home. Although not all Americans speak English, it is the most common language for daily interaction among both native and non-native speakers. Opportunities in this country are only limited by our imagination and our ability. Indeed, two of the richest men in the world, Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, hail from America, and both started their companies from the ground up. But despite its success as one of the world's superpowers, the United States is also a very spiritual country, allowing freedom of worship to its citizens. Indeed, religion has traditionally played a large role in American society. Many of the original European colonists came to America for religious reasons. Religion still has a major influence on American politics and culture. As a liberal country that respects its citizens' right to worship, America has a deep affinity with Supreme Master Ching Hai. She first visited America in the late 1980s. In response to the earnest and sincere invitation of spiritual aspirants. Since then, Supreme Master Ching Hai has accepted many invitations from around the country to share her wisdom and knowledge on spirituality. Over the years, with her boundless love and compassion, Supreme Master Ching Hai has also provided humanitarian assistance to many parts of the country. For example, in 1993, many parts of the Midwestern United States were flooded as a result of heavy rainfall. Supreme Master Ching Hai's heart went out to these victims, and thus, she immediately sent relief teams to this region to provide financial and material assistance. In 1994, in recognition of her compassion and contributions to these states, the governors of 6 Midwestern states, Illinois, Minnesota, Missouri, Iowa, Wisconsin, and Kansas, presented Supreme Master Ching Hai with the World Spiritual Leadership Award, and also proclaimed February 22nd as Supreme Master Ching Hai Day. And in the face of the worst human tragedy to ever occur on U.S. soil, on September 11, 2001, Supreme Master Ching Hai had also responded by immediately sending relief teams from around the country and all over the world to Ground Zero in New York City. Supreme Master Qinghai's financial contributions amounted to over $300,000 to organizations aiding the victims. Contributions were given to the Virginia chapter of the American Red Cross, National Red Cross in Washington, D.C., National Salvation Army, Crisis Link, an organization to help the families of the Pentagon victims, and the Virginia Hospital Center, where many of the injured victims from the Pentagon were treated. In New York, Supreme Master Qinghai's contributions were directed to the Salvation Army, the American Red Cross, and the Firefighters Memorial Fund. Additional contributions from Supreme Master Qinghai were allocated for relief supplies. Our association members on site at Ground Zero provided supplies, medicine, and daily nourishment of delicious vegetarian food and hot coffee to relief workers. For rescuers who were in areas too dangerous to leave, the Qinghai Mobile Meal Truck, the only mobile food unit at the time, delivered food directly to those workers. As an embodiment of true love, Supreme Master Qinghai continues to this day to extend her loving compassion to all parts of the United States, from Virginia, Ohio, Kentucky, Alabama, to California, Florida, Texas, Hawaii, and other states, from the elderly to the homeless, the orphaned and the impoverished, and victims of natural disasters. All are recipients of Supreme Master Qinghai's love. Everywhere she goes, Supreme Master Qinghai leaves an indelible impression on the hearts of all those who met her or received her unconditional assistance. For many, Supreme Master Qinghai's words of wisdom act like a loving balm that soothes their aching soul as they yearn to return to God's embrace.
We now invite you to listen to the following lecture given by Supreme Master Qinghai in Colorado, USA, on April 10, 1993, entitled, Enlightenment is the Key Answer to Everything.
We're so glad that Master has arrived.
Thank you for your love. Thank you so much. Come and do this. Thank you. 谢谢.
Now I'd like to introduce Steve, who will introduce Master Qinghai.
So here come the handsome guy.
I have a funny history with talking to groups that have come to see Master Qinghai. The first time was in Stanton, California, and the disciples, we talked among ourselves to decide who was going to talk. And I had never given a talk, and everyone decided it was my turn. And I said okay, but I couldn't think of what to say. I'm a very mental person, and I thought of this thing, I thought of that thing, and I tried to work on it, and what happens is that when I'm around Master Qinghai, my mind disappears. So I was left there, and we were trying to set up the hall because we'd given a vegetarian meal to people before the talk, and people like you were waiting for her to come, and some people were getting a little anxious. They'd finished their meal, and you know, where was the speaker, And I think one of the nuns said, Steve, you have to start talking. And I'm going, and just at that moment, Master's van arrived. And so just like here, you know, everything stopped and Master came in and she sat down. And I'm standing there and I'm ready to start my speech and Master starts talking. And I didn't get a chance to say a word. And I was very relieved. So, but you realize that in my mind I had prepared a lot of, I prepared what I was going to say. So that's sort of stored somewhere in me. And I think it was maybe a few years later, I was at the United Nations when Master was going to give a lecture. And I had a really bad sore throat, and but I did notice I did wear my suit and tie, so maybe my inner master knew what was going to happen, but I didn't. And I was just sitting in the audience, and the speaker before me didn't talk long enough, so they said, Steve, talk. And I went, oh no, I wasn't prepared. And I got up and I talked. And it was a lot of fun. And it was easy because a lot of the things I had already thought about before the Stanton lecture. So here we go again. I got a call 6 o'clock this morning that I'm going to talk. I had no idea before that I was going to talk. There were 4 or 5 people here from the Boulder, Denver area. I thought it would be covered. So here I don't even know what I'm saying, to tell you the truth. I'm supposed to talk about Master's life story, but you know what? There's a booklet, and it's for free. Actually, I think I even wrote the story in the booklet. And by the way, everything here is free. I don't know if you noticed, the booklet's free. The books and tapes, we have to charge cost. But the lecture's free, and so is the initiation, and so will be the food. Anyway, there's a booklet, and the story's in the booklet, and, you know, she's here. It seems irrelevant to talk about her past, because we're all right here, right now. And if I've talked long enough, I'm going to just introduce Master Ching Hai.
So, hi. How's everyone? Still recognize me from last time? Is anyone from last time? Please raise your hand. Oh, fine. So I don't have to start from scratch, no? Is it still very early for you? No. You don't work today? Oh, fine. And I have to work. I had a lot of inspiration about what God is and how to better our world and how to better ourselves and how to be in samadhi, etc. But I lose them all when I came to Colorado. I guess because Colorado people are very spiritual and the environment here, it looks like Himalaya. So I thought all of you are yogis. Yes. You don't need to prove that to me by any funny gesture, okay? Or mudras or anything. This is one of the places that I might consider to stay and make myself at home. Consider only. Consider. Because I have many other people who consider that I should stay at their hometown. And I can never win because I'm alone. And there are too many people. But today, maybe I would like to take some of your time to introduce you to our real hometown. I'll maybe invite you to have a look at it. Many people believe that God creates only goodness, and then other people believe that God creates also evil, because they say everything comes from God. What do you agree? The first one or the second? Huh? The first one. Right? Then where do evil come from? Huh? A human. Oh, so you're very enlightened indeed. This place, which is called our world, is not the original plan of the universe. And it has become this and that and others with all kind of suffering and all kind of undesirable situation, because of the byproducts of human and other beings' interrelationship. If evils has truly existed, then it couldn't have been changing from one place after another, or from one country to the other, or from one period of time to the other. In the old time, we do not have guns and we do not have atom bombs and all kind of these things which could destroy mankind in no time. So, actually, the evils that exist in this world is not God-made. It's not already there. Therefore, it changes from time to time and from different countries. Why do we say about this? Because we must realize that if evil is man-made, then man can also stop it or avoid it. Instead of blaming God all the time or waiting in a corner of the church for God to descend and do something about it. For example, between I and Mr. Smith, whoever that may be, we never met each other and nothing happened between us. And suddenly, someday Mr. Smith come to see me, or I came to see him. Suppose we are both very ignorant. And then we both wanted to do something. We both wanted to arrive at a position which is very lucrative and profitable and famous and all that for ourselves. And then both of us in competition about that object. And then if one of us win, of course the other will feel very frustrated. And if he is a bad-tempered man, he might try to revenge in some kind or make trouble for me. And therefore, in this process, we breed another kind of atmosphere between us and apart from us. Originally, both of us has no hatred, and then now we have hatred. And that hatred is the third energy which is born from both of our energy. So you see, this is not necessary. It wasn't there in the first place. If we come to think about it like that, we couldn't blame God for anything that is unfortunate in this world. Most of people think God has made everything, including evil. I used to think that way. But I think I'm getting older and, you know, I have more sympathy for the old man. You get more understanding, you know, for old people as you grow older. Yes, it's just like you and your wife or husband. Normally both of you have no children, but then you got together and then the third kind were born. That is your children. And your children may be exactly like you in character, in intelligence, and in ambition or virtues, but they might not be. And they might cause you a lot of trouble and headaches. So these are not your making, not entirely. Maybe some of it are your making. But if you are very virtuous parents and very exemplary, and your children are the opposite, then it is not your making. Similarly, our world has become sometimes intolerable. It is our own making. So now, in order to improve this or repair the world or the house, the big house that we live in with so many rooms, which are the nations, then we should know that evils are avoidable. Evil is avoided by doing good, by keeping the commandment, by loving thy neighbors. But because our mind is so used to with an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, it is difficult to do what we think we ought to do, or to treat others in a very loving, kind ways. Therefore, we need a stronger force to help us, to pull us out of our habitual thinkings and actions. That is why enlightenment is necessary. It's just like a woman who is already very beautiful, and if she dresses herself up and wearing a little bit more jewelry and learning to walk in a graceful way, then her beauty is more enhanced. Everything in this world is actually also good for us, even evil. Evils are our mistake, fine, but then we don't have to stay in the mistakes forever. At least the mistakes is a kind of a shock. When we receive the effect of our mistake, we will be shocked into realizing that this is not a proper thing to do. Yes, and it causes us misery and unhappiness. Therefore, we turn around. And even all things in this world, which are beautiful, enjoyable, are a reminding us of our true happiness within or in our true home. Therefore, it's not a sin to enjoy the things that God created for us. But if we always feel very attached to these things, and God will remind us that this is not proper, and therefore we will sometimes experience unhappiness or misery from the things that we cherish most. It is wrong to deny the world, but it is not right to sink deep into the world all the time, because we miss the better half of life, which is spirit, which is more enjoyable than anything in this world could afford. Everything in this world is just a reminder of the true happiness, the true glory, and the true life that we should have and that we should know, because we have forgotten. Many people ask me about kind of a woman and man relationship and sexual pleasure and that, whether it is sinful. I say it is not. It is not. But you should know that there are much more pleasure than that. And for example, sexual pleasure is only a copy of a true pleasure when you are in union with yourself. When the both force within you, the feminine and masculine aspect within yourself, are united. And the union between man and woman are just a duplicate of that one. So actually, God sent us into this world not without any instrument to remind us of the kingdom of God. It is just that we have forgotten that these are the reminder only, and we just love the copy and forget the original. And that's what makes our life miserable. And even then, we couldn't enjoy the copy completely. Therefore, many of the men and women relationship even are rocky. And the sexual relationship between you are not that holy, not that mutual respecting, but is a kind of sometimes of abusing and just frustration relief, a kind of instrument. Therefore, if we truly want to enjoy this life even, we should enjoy the true life, which is 100,000 times better than the life that we know on earth. And by knowing that life, we can also enjoy this life. Just like one of our friends just expressed her opinion that after initiation or enlightenment, she enjoyed life also. She will feel whatever is there in very intensive awareness. And when you're happy, you're truly happy, and you have no reservation for your laughter. You're not constrained and not feeling ashamed for laughing very loud, very heartily with your friends or even alone. And when you feel sorrow, you truly can weep. You weep all of your emotion out, and then you get released. Not that after enlightenment we became like wood or stone and has no feeling whatsoever. Some people keep asking me whether I fall in love sometimes. Are you interested, by the way? No, huh? If not, I don't talk about that. This is just private. Are you interested? Okay. I thought it's too personal. You come here to talk about Buddhahood and God and all that. And here I bring things which sound very mundane. Yeah, never mind. You see? And I say, yes. Yeah, off and on. Now and again. Or maybe I don't know if that is falling in love or not. Yeah, when I see the person, probably I like it. And then after he's gone, goodbye. Is that in love or not? Steve, you have more experience. Is that falling in love, Steve? Yes? Really? Okay. But not in Colorado, though. I haven't. Okay. Before enlightenment, I don't know this kind of feeling. You understand? I never miss anyone. I don't love anyone. I don't care about anyone. And I do not enjoy. I did not enjoy the friendship with people. I did not feel lonely, though. I am just a very alone person. Until now, until I have been forced into this job. I have been a very quiet person. I cannot talk. I mean, I don't speak. I don't make friends. I enjoy myself. I feel I need nothing. And you know what it's like in our society? You work and then 1 month, a year, you have vacation, right? Even if you don't want to, you have to. It's a law. So when I was alone there, I wasn't married then. And then this forced 1 month vacation is the time I had trouble. I don't know what to do. Because I have no friends, and there's nowhere I wished to go. But you had to go, because if you don't come back with a 10, you know, people will not respect you that much. So you come, you spend all your money and go to Costa Brava or whatever, and then beg yourself to death. Spend all your time in the sun and get burned, get peeled, get scorched, and do whatever you can with the cream and all that to comfort yourself, and then go home to show people, here I am. Yeah, from Costa Brava, Costa Bomb, cost a lot of money. Yes, so that's the kind of life that I had. Probably some of you experienced the same up to now. And then, after I became the main role in this office, I became more talkative. I changed. I became an entirely different person. That if you know me before, maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago, you wouldn't recognize me now. When I was married, and my husband had a lot of friends, you know, from his medical doctor circles, and they talk a lot to him about many things. And also they talk on phone a lot. But I hardly can speak anything to him. And sometimes I stand around and feel very envious with these friends. I say, geez, if I could just talk, you know, half of the time like them, I would feel already very good. You know, I feel a little bit inadequate because I couldn't speak. I mean, I'm not a talkative person. I'm always quiet, do my job, and have feelings, but nothing more. And even the love for my husband, I didn't know it was that a love or not, you know? Well, I miss him when he's away, and I'm happy when he's around. But that's it. That's just about it, you know? It's not very kind of passionate thing that you read about in a novel, romance, and watch movies, a thing like that. I thought, oh, look like I'm not the person in this world. I don't belong here. But after enlightenment, you feel that your feelings and your emotion and your affection and your everything is very sharp. You know, you realize more that you are truly living beings. Many people fear that maybe after enlightenment they will shave their head and cast off their beautiful clothes and go into the Himalaya or find a cave in Colorado somewhere. But it is not true. It's not true. Maybe you do that in the beginning because you're too fanatic, too eager to know God, and forgetting all the while that He is always here because you are God. You are the representative of this God power, and we are all connected together in this marvelous network. And should we forget that, we will be very lonely. Deep in our heart, we'll never be satisfied. It doesn't matter how many friends we have and how much money we earn or how busy we are. Many of the moments of our life will be in loneliness and dissatisfaction. We just don't know what is it that is lacking in our life, but we do feel something missing. That is because we have forgotten to tune in with this network which connects us as the whole with the whole universe. Therefore, whatever we do alone. We work alone, and we feel great burden on our shoulders. That's why Emerson says, a great burden falls from our shoulders when we let God run the universe. To To let God run the universe doesn't mean we sit there and waiting for bread to fall from the sky. It means that we work together with the whole universe. And whatever we do, it will be blessed, watched over, and helped by the whole power. Therefore, we will be a great being. And everything within us, including so-called human emotion, will be very alert. We feel for the first time in our life that we are truly alive, that we truly enjoy everything that God gives us in this life. Not the denial of the world. Not truly. Not like that. I don't think an enlightened person is so negative in his attitude. Because I feel and I see and I know that my fellow initiates people, you can call them disciples, that's your word, yeah. They are very alive, they're very alert, and they're happy. They know that life is all right. Not that all of them are. Very seldom that they want to run away from life. Maybe in the beginning. Because before I used to wear nun's clothes and look very serious, you know. So people think to be serious and become a monk is the end to all means of Buddhahood. After I realized that, I changed. Okay. Because that's a wrong conception. It's okay, I wear the clothes if I want to. I wear nun clothes if I want to. But that is not the leading motive of enlightenment. Then it's not the condition for enlightenment. Enlightened people are very, and they're very happy. And they accept the situations, whatever it is. And I have a very positive knowledge that if all people are enlightened, then we don't need to change the world at all. We don't need to make Indian become rich. We don't need to change communism into capitalism, because everyone will be contented under whichever circumstance they are in. And we don't have to change anything. We don't need to even vote for new presidents every 4 years. And Mr. Clinton can stay there forever. Whether he is good or not. Because we are good. That is important. You see, one president, however good, cannot do much. But the whole nation is strong when people in that nation are all together at one mind because of the connected network. And the whole world are all together in unison because they're all connected with that network. And then the president cannot help himself but to be good. He has to behave, right? I don't mean Mr. Clinton, please don't tell him. So the problem in this world is not to be blamed on politicians, not to be blamed on the economical system of any country or any ism of any nation, but to be blamed on the ignorance of ourselves, nature, that we do not know how great we are, that we do not know that we are the contentment incarnate, that we do not know that we are love personified. Therefore, enlightenment is a cure for all illnesses, for all worldly problems, for all wars, and is one and for all finished. And as long as all of us are enlightened, the world will never come to an end. Everybody predicts about the end of the world. I mean, not everybody worry about it. Some people predict and make many people worry. But even if the world comes to an end, the enlightened people would never feel bothered.
because they know this world comes and then it will go one day. But the life, eternal, always goes on, and that nothing can affect it. Life eternal is what we are. Wisdom is what we possess. Love is what our nature is. And that cannot be destroyed with any bomb at all. It cannot be limited by space and time. Therefore, the masters initiate disciples without the limitation of the space and time. The master don't have to always be where the disciples are, but can help the disciples and bless them. And the disciples will grow into mastership and also can do the same. So for whatever I do, you can do also. That's what Jesus said to us. But can we do it? Can we do what Jesus did? No, not yet, because we do not learn what he learned. We do not tune into the kingdom of God. We have forgotten our Father, who is perfect. Therefore, we live in imperfection. Now, to correct this is very easy. Yes? If we want to go northward, then we have to face north and continue, begin and continue to walk or to go northward. But if we want to go south, then of course we have to turn back and face south and begin to go there. It's very simple. Therefore, every day we face the world. We walk toward the world. We think toward the world. We immerse ourselves in the world. All our attention, energy, emotion, best talent face the world. Therefore, we don't face God. Now, it's very simple. Turn around. I'll show you how the initiation, and there you are. Very simple. You will ask me the question is that, if you face God, then how can you? Then you have to turn your back to the world. It is not so in the kingdom of God. Because actually, if there is no kingdom of God, then there is no this world, not this world. This world is only a copy of the real thing, of the real life. Therefore, you do not have to forsake the world in order to know the real. But you have to know that the world came from the real by realizing the real. Just like you get to know a beautiful lady instead of chasing after her shadow. Then you have both. If you want the shadow that much, you can include. Because the shadow comes from this beautiful lady. It's no good always clinging to the shadow and not knowing the real. But since we know the real, the shadow also belongs to us.
thank you for your company on today's episode of Words of Wisdom. Please tune in tomorrow for part two of this fascinating lecture on Enlightenment is the Key Answer to Everything. And now, please stay tuned for History of Czech Fine Arts on a Journey Through Aesthetic Realms, only on Supreme Master Television. We wish you an uplifting and beautiful day.